Praise God. Hope everyone's doing wonderful this morning. Amen. Can you believe it's the last Sunday of 2018? Just a few days, it'll be a new year. Now, one thing I found out about getting older, it seems the older you get, the faster the years go. In fact, it's gonna seem like that we blink three times and it's gonna be July 4th and 100 degrees outside. And three more times it'll be Christmas again. I mean, does anybody else kind of feel like that? It just seems, you know, the older we get, the quicker the year goes by, you know. But praise God. You know that I kind of believe that at the end of every year, we ought to be like most businesses. You know, but most businesses are taking inventory right now. They're taking inventory to find out, you know, how much stuff they have left, how their Christmas season went. They start thinking about their marketing plans and what went right and what went wrong in 2018 and how they can make some changes. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. But you realize that many people, that's what we do every year. End of the year finishes, we don't really think about it, we just go into the next year and the same thing happens over and over again. You know, and the older you get, the quicker it happens over and over again. You know, and I realize, I mean, there's a few of us that maybe we have some New Year's resolutions, and by the end of January, those are all gone. You know, and because, you know, really, it shouldn't be a New Year's resolution. It should be a life resolution. You know, not just a commitment for a year, but for a commitment for a life. And I do believe that we probably each and every year should look back and look at the good things, look at the bad things. You know, not just naturally, but naturally, spiritually, emotionally, and in every way. And think about what the new year happens. You know, but it seems like a lot of Christians, they don't. You know what most Christians do? They sit around and, you know, now with Facebook and stuff, you know, when, you know, we can, or Twitter and stuff, we sit around on New Year's Eve to find out what brother so-and-so said in his message and what this person said in that message. And, you know, and they're going to live on the words that somebody else says. You know, it doesn't really matter what I say about your year. I can say, you know, Jack be nimble, Jack be quick, Jack jumped over the candlestick in 2019. And you know, some people might get excited about it and start running and stuff. That's how it happens around here. But it doesn't matter what I say about your year, because what I say doesn't determine your year. But what you do determines your year. You know, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. And, you know, say, well, yeah, but they got a word from the Lord. I got lots of words from the Lord. 66 chapters. Or books, actually. Not chapters, 66 books. A lot of words for the Lord. You know, and the thing about it, I found that most people don't even read the words that they have. They're looking for new ones. You know, and I'm not saying people don't get words from the Lord. But the point is that your year is what you make of it. And you have to decide, you know, are you going to make this a good one or a bad one? You know, it's interesting. I don't really know much about wine except for Jesus turned the wine into water. I mean, the water and the wine, you know, it's all about, no. But, you know, they always say, well, speaking of wines, well, this was a good year, this was a bad year. How do they know? What happened that year? I mean, I don't know how they know that kind of stuff. But the point is you can decide right now. You can make a commitment to make 2019 the best year of your life. But, you know, even if you do that, you should make a commitment to make 2020 the best year of your life, and 2021 and 2022 and, you know, whatever it is. Every year you roll into should be the best year of your life because you determined to make it that way. But I just want to be honest with you, because I should be honest, I'm a preacher. But, I mean, I think by me being honest about my year might help some of you. I mean, I'll be honest, you know, last year at this time, I wasn't looking forward to 2018. A lot of things were going on in our family's life, and everybody, you know, knows the story. And you know, it was, I didn't know how we could get through the year. But I want to say, first of all, that God's faithful. God is faithful at all times. And not only is God faithful, but you guys are awesome. You know, that's what I tell people all the time. I said, you know, you need to get into a good church and surround yourself with people who believe in you and are there to help you whenever you're going through tough times. You know, people say, well, you know, you can go to heaven without going to church. Yeah, but it's a whole lot easier to live here on the earth going to a church. And it's not just about coming on a Sunday morning and hearing a message. It's about meeting people. It's about, you know, assembling together. It's about people there to be with you whenever you're having your hard times. And you can be with them when they're having their tough times. You know, but honestly, I wasn't looking forward to 2018, and I wanted to go by as quick as possible. You know, but at the beginning of the year, the Lord gave me a few scriptures, and I preached on them throughout the year. I didn't really tell you why the Lord, you know, that the Lord gave them to me, because it's really not necessary. I just preached on them because they're good scriptures to preach on. The first scripture that he gave me is over in Mark chapter 5. And, you know, most of the time we read about Mark chapter 5, we talk about the woman with the issue of blood. You know, but on whenever that story happened, Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house, the ruler of the synagogue, to pray for his daughter because his 12-year-old daughter was sick and dying. And after the woman with the issue of blood was made whole because she touched Jesus' garment, we read from Mark chapter 5, verse number 35, from the New King James here I'm reading. It says, while he, being Jesus, was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? You know, whenever I read that, when the Lord gave me the scripture, I begin to think about that in my own thought life. And I mean, I can't imagine what could be worse than hearing that your 12-year-old child has just passed away while you're on the way with Jesus to pray for her. I mean, you know, I mean, I can't think of anything more devastating than to lose a child at 12 years of age, or any years of age. And you know, I imagine that Jairus was devastated. I imagine you could probably see it by the look on his face. And to be honest with you, going into 2018, I was devastated. But these words rang true. Verse number 36 says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Only believe. And I want to tell you that things might happen in 2019 or 2020 or 2021 or whenever they happen that is going to devastate you. That it's going to be news that you thought you would never hear. But remember what Jesus says. Do not be afraid, only believe. Only believe. You know, the Lord hasn't taken us this far to let us down. You know, we still serve the same God that delivered the Israelites from Egypt. We still serve the same God that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace. That's the God that we serve. You know, sometimes whenever, you know, people hear Bible stories in this generation, they almost think, well, is that even real? Is that fairy tale? No, it is real. Our God is real. We serve a real God. And I tell you what, he'll get you through some of the hardest situations you ever thought you'll ever face. You know, and the thing is that Jesus is already the answer to your year, to your problems, to whatever you're going through. So that was the first scripture he gave me. The second scripture he gave me was from the Old Testament. We read it many times when we preached. And it comes from Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And I'll go ahead and just read it. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You know, it's interesting to say that because a lot of people say, well, I'm trusting God with all my heart. And it's easy to trust God with all your heart when you understand everything. When you understand what's going on, but maybe you're going through a time that you don't understand. You don't understand why you might have lost your job. You don't understand why things are happening the way they are. You don't understand why it didn't go the way you thought it was going to go. But even when things go the way you didn't think it was going to go, that's when you have to trust the Lord with all your heart. No matter what. So basically, the Bible's saying here, no matter what happens, trust God with everything. You know, and now what happens to a lot of us, and that's why I have a little mini book out there called Don't Blame God. Because what happens to a lot of us when things don't go our way, the first person we blame is God. But remember, one of the scriptures I read all the time, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So I always look at this and said, well, did this news, did this steal from you? Did this kill, is this trying to kill you or trying to destroy you? If it was, it didn't come from God. It came from the devil. Now, many of us, you know, when we're going through tough times in life, we try to blame God and we try to blame other people. You know, you can't blame other people for your own actions. And you say, well, this person did. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter if your action was a response to what somebody else did. If you did it, then just own it. You know, we put ourselves in situations. Many of us, because of, you know, what we've did in 2018 or other years, we put ourselves in a financial situation. Some of you, because you decided to be real generous and give great gifts to, you know, to all men through the Christmas season, are now, you know, living on a little tight budget. And one of the worst things you can ever do is give people Christmas gifts on credit. Why? Because all year long you're paying for last year's Christmas gifts. You know, and I guess they appreciated it, but, you know, it's really the thought that counts, they say, right? So just give them a card and say, I thought about it. Merry Christmas. Or what you should do, I mean, everybody in life, I mean, I don't care who they are, I don't care how old they are, you know, but I think everybody in life would like a new car for Christmas, right? I mean, that would have been like an ultimate Christmas gift. You know, when you're watching all these end of the year commercials, you realize at the end of the year commercials that there are always these car commercials because they're trying to get people to buy their cars at the end of the year so they have a better year. But not that they can get a better year because they have a car, but the company that sells cars have a better year at the end of the year. So what you should do is, you know, Matchbox Hot Wheel cars, I mean, they're only $1.19 or something like that. You can get a car for everybody on your Christmas, you know, list. Now, I know it's not the kind of car they wanted, but, you know, it's a thought that counts, right? So I'm just trying to help you, you know, have a cheaper 2019 Christmas list and give everybody the gift they wanted. I mean, you know, find out what kind of car they wanted, you know, and now with eBay and stuff like that, you can actually find the right car. You know, you have a whole year to find that right car for somebody for next year. So it's awesome, you know. So, but you know, it goes on to say, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. There's so many times when you're trying to understand, you're trying to figure it out. And I found out that this is awesome. The one way that we understand faith and understand God is we just don't have to understand. We just believe. You know, and it's really hard for us here in the United States and other countries, you know, where we've been westernized and civilized or whatever. I mean, we go to school for at least 12 years to understand. And then we're telling you with God, you don't have to understand. You don't even have to show your work. You know, just like, you know, in the most of your math books, when you're growing up, that some of the answers on the back, well, you already have the answers, Jesus Christ. You don't have to understand how the problem works out. It's not my problem, as long as I give it over to God. But it says, you know, lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You know what? It says he's going to show us what to do. If you'll trust God, he'll get you through it. He'll show you what to do. You know, and so many times in my own life, I've had to read the scripture and lean not to your own understanding. Because, you know, I'm kind of a smart person, and I like to figure things out. That's why I'm a Googleologist, like I say. I want to figure everything out. I want to be in the know. But when it comes to the things of God, we're not a know-it-all. I don't care how much you know, you still don't know it all. We don't have the whole plan. The Bible says that we see through a glass darkly, or we only see the partial. I mean, you know, but one day in heaven, we'll see the whole picture, but we only have part of the picture. But, you know, the part we do have is that we will make it. We're going to make it. We're going to get through this year. We're going to get through next year. And I tell you what, man, our God is faithful. He's always faithful. He's always faithful. He always has the answer. And but once again, the devil is always there yapping in your ear. And I'm going to tell you, in 2018, I don't know how many times the devil tried to tell me that it's not going to work out. It's not going to be like you think it's going to be. And I had to go to the Word. That's what I did, go to the Word every time. And thank God that we have the Word. You know, I didn't go around looking for somebody to give me a word. I went to the Word that we already have. You know, and the Word says not to lean to my own understanding. It says, you know, you might not understand it, but God's still in control. You know, he has the whole world in his hands. God didn't drop the world. He's still in control. You know, whether you understand it or don't understand it, it doesn't really matter. But the point is that, you know, you're going to make it. You're going to get through. Why are you going to get through? Because you're not leaning to your own understanding. Because you're casting your cares upon the Lord. Because he's providing for you. Now, my favorite end of the year scripture comes from the Apostle Paul to talking to his church in Philippi, which is pretty cool that I've actually been there. That's, you know, it's pretty awesome to see places where Paul preached. But Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13, and I believe this is the scripture for every end of the year. It says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know what? It's time to forget about whatever happened in 2018, whether it was good, whether it was bad, doesn't really matter. And we have another scripture, old things have passed away, all things have become new. You know, we have an opportunity, you know, to change everything in 2019. And the word I got, you know, doesn't really matter, you know, whether you take it or leave it. 2019 is the year of new beginnings. New beginnings. Plus, nothing rhymes with 19. You know, it was easy in, you know, 2008 was the year to go through the gate and all kinds of you know, we know all those things. But 2019, I mean, what, here to be mean? I don't know. I mean, I tried to, maybe for some of you, that might be a good one. But, we have to put things behind us. Now, I will say, and everyone knows that, maybe the beginning of this year wasn't good, but the end of the year was awesome for me and our family. And ultimately, I think the way you measure something is not how things start, but how they finish. And see, a lot of times, too, you're already measuring, some of us are already measuring 2019 by how things are starting, by where we're at financially, where we're at spiritually, where we're at emotionally, where we're at in our job, where we're at in our house. You've already, but it's not where things start. Because your starting point is a starting point. But you know what? What's going to finish up your year? And ultimately, it doesn't really matter because unless you either pass away or the Lord comes back, you're going to continue on the year after that and the year after that and the year after that. Because if you read the whole book, in the end, we win. In the end, we're the winner, not the loser. The Bible says we've already been made victorious through Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ has already won the battle for us 2,000 years ago. Do you realize that we're fighting a battle that's already been won? And really, the whole battle is not on the outside because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers are on high. And really, the whole battle is in our mind. And the biggest way to battle is really on our knees. Because a lot of times when I say battle is in your mind, people are trying to figure out, well, how can I make more money? How can I do this? How can I do that? You know what? That's all about you. But it really is not all about you. It's all about God. And it's all about Jesus. It's about who you are in Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, you're victorious. You're more than a conqueror. I love that. I mean, I don't know how many times I think about that over and over again. The words, I'm more than a conqueror. It doesn't just say I'm a conqueror. It doesn't just say I'm a winner. It doesn't just say, that I barely get by. It doesn't say I had to go to overtime to win the game. It says I'm more than a conqueror. I think of, you think of things, I'm sorry for you Notre Dame fans, but Clemson more than conquered Notre Dame last night. I mean, I know somebody said, well, Notre Dame's God's team or whatever. Well, they got beat. OU's fault is they didn't start playing until after they were behind by 28 points. Then they decided, hey, we're going to win the rest of the ball game. But that doesn't really work because you still lose the ball game. But anyway, there are a lot of games that are more than conquerors, and there's games that barely squeak out, the one when you win 3-0 or whatever. But the Bible says that we're more than conquerors. Doesn't just say we barely squeak by, but we win by an extreme margin. Now, the reason why most of us barely squeak by? Because we think in our own mind that's what happens. We can have what we think we can have. We can be what we think we can be. It's really up to you. 2019 can be the year that you want it to be, or it can be the worst year on record for you. And really, we don't determine that on January 1st. We determine all throughout the year. Are you going to keep winning? Are you going to keep being more than a conqueror? Because you're going to have many opportunities to be conquered. I believe as time is shorter and shorter, the devil is under more, is trying to attack more and more. I believe that. And I believe that you know, well, I don't just believe in. And over in Acts, it says in the last days, it talks about that he will pour out a spirit upon all flesh. And, but it talks about the young people. It said young men will prophesy. Young men and young women. It says that young men shall see visions, that old men shall dream dreams. And I've said it many times, the difference in a dream and a vision is a dream is something that you see that will happen, but you won't be here. But a vision is something that you see, and later on, you're able to see it in the natural as well. But, and I believe that there's an all-out attack on the young people of this generation. That's why I pray every day. And you hear me pray for it every time that I pray, you know, for, you know, before I minister, I pray for the young people. I pray for revival for the young people. You know, and many times people say, well, the young people are going to hell. Well, if you send them there, that's where they're going. But praise God that God has poured out his spirit upon all of us. But, you know, I believe that young people, I mean, I think that's the one thing that keeps us here as teachers here at the training college, you know, excited to see these young people, to go out to change their world. And, you know, and I'm excited for 2019. I'm excited about what God's doing in life. But I'm going to leave you off with Matthew, let me find out my mind. Matthew chapter 6 from the NLT version. Matthew 6 from the NLT, starting with verse 31. It says this, "So don't worry about these things." Now this is red letters, all right? This is Jesus talking, all right? "Don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of the unbelievers," or of unbelievers. "But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs." Then verse 33, the one that we quote all the time, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." Now, as I read these scriptures, you know, it's interesting because, you know, when people, you know, begin a new year and they start their New Year's resolutions and stuff, it's interesting because I found out that most people's New Year's resolutions are all about them. But how they can look better, how they can have more money, how they can do this, how they can do that, how they can better themselves. And I believe those are all great things, okay? Nothing wrong with that. But Jesus told his disciples and the people he was ministering to, you know what? You shouldn't be worrying about yourself and what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear. I got that covered. Now, here's the thing. We have what we expect we have. Do you expect God to cover it or do you not expect him to cover it? Now, you know, me being a doer of God's word, I'm a doer of God's word. I'm a giver. I give. I love people. But see, the thing is that why are we all worried about financial stuff? And I get it. It takes money to operate. I understand that. But God says right there, he says these are the thoughts that dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. He knows all your needs. Not that he's going to try to find out your needs. He already knows your needs. He knows what you need. He knows what you're going through. He knows whether you've been bad or good, so be good for... Oh. That's Santa Claus, I'm sorry. But he does know whether you've been bad or good. You know, talking about needs, I mean, it just hit me. I want, you know, flip over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. There's another scripture about needs. I'm in the NLT, so I'm going to read it from the NLT. It says, "And this same God who takes care of me." See, Paul knew that God takes care of him. Paul knew that God takes care of his needs. All right? But he says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given us to us. How? In Christ Jesus. By Christ. In Christ. All our needs are met. You know, and a lot of us, we're worried about how we're going to do this or do that or whatever, but my Bible says that he knows our needs. He's got this. He's got you covered. You know, and Paul here in Philippians was said, and the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given us in Christ. Now, the only way you see those glorious riches is whenever we renew our mind and we see our mind like Christ sees. We have the mind of Christ. Because we can understand that everything will be okay. Going on here, it says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So, what is the kingdom of God? Now, you know, kingdom of God obviously is putting God first in your life. We get that. You know, and we should put God first in everything that we do. All right? But I think the kingdom of God is more than that. I think the kingdom of God is going out and expanding the kingdom of God. You know, going out and touching the world, caring about people. Basically, Jesus was saying, you know what, if you'll care about other people more than you care about your own finances, I'll take care of you. You know, and I go back to what my grandfather said. He said many times when he was preaching, he said not one time did he ever ask God to bless him. But every day he asked God to help him be a blessing to somebody. Now, he was a blessed man. Not just, you know, he was blessed financially. Why? Because he was a blessing to people. And if we will be a blessing, we'll be blessed. You know, and it's more important to really, and then, you know, it's more important to, it's better to give than receive anyway. But if you'll just be a blessing, God will take care of you. He'll take care, because that's what the word says. And we talk about every day about being a doer of God's word. Well, one of the doers of God's word is be a blessing, and God will perform his word for you. He'll bless you. I mean, I'm not just talking about a sneezing bless you. Like I said, you know, every time people sneeze, people say God bless you, but that's not a real blessing. A blessing is things you cannot contain. Now, I believe that God wants to really bless us. And I believe that our New Year's resolution for 2019 and every other year that goes beyond that is not about how I can do this or how I can do that, but how I can be a better blessing to more people. How I can help more people. I mean, how can I just be nice? Because, you know, a lot of people don't care what you have to say until they see you care about them. And so it all starts about being nice and, you know, kind of talks about, you know, just like the Bible says about how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. First thing he did was that he did good. And then talks about preaching and teaching and healing. And I believe that if you want to make a New Year's resolution, but I don't think it should be just 1 year, I think it should be for the rest of your life, is how can I be a better blessing? And my grandfather said every day he would pray that God would send people across his path that he could be a blessing to. Now, sometimes being a blessing, you know, could be ministering to a lot of people like this, and words that you say are a blessing to them. And sometimes they can be a one-on-one blessing. I mean, sometimes it's just doing nice for people. And I know that, you know, we had that campaign, the VIP campaign. Remember that? Whenever we, you know, just was an effort to bless people. Do you realize the reason for that campaign was to get you started? Not to really ever stop. I mean, you know, you don't have to have a card to be a blessing. And, you know, the amount of people who actually, you know, not everybody writes testimonies, but the amount of testimonies that we received of people having a bad day or whatever, and they pulled up to the drive-thru at McDonald's and someone paid for their food or Starbucks, you know, that just made their day. You know, you realize making someone's day could actually maybe change their whole year. I mean, you know, and really, you never know what you can do. But if you'll decide that 2019 is not really about you, but about the kingdom of God, and, you know, and yeah, I get it. You need finances. You need stuff. But right here in Matthew, it says, if you'll forget about what you need and start being a blessing to other people, I'll take care of what you need. Now, the only way that we can actually see that is actually, once again, being a doer of God's word. Just go out and do it. Put on your Nike shirt. Just do it. Yeah, but I don't feel like it being a blessing. It's not about what you feel like. Yeah, but it's not my personality. I mean, because I've heard people say that, well, you know, I'm not an outgoing person. I don't do this. I don't do that. Do you realize paying for somebody's meal at McDonald's, you don't have to do anything except for, hey, the person behind me, how much was their food? You know, you don't have to talk to anyone, but, you know, the people that you're a blessing to are people that are around about you on a daily basis. You know, and a lot of times that we work with people and, you know, we can tell they're having a tough time. You know, I mean, this is not a negative thing or whatever, but during the wintertime, a lot of people tend to get sick because of the changing of the season or whatever. You know, when someone shows up at work and they're coughing like every 2 seconds, you know, they probably need healing. Yeah, but can I pray for them? The Bible says that believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Does it work? Well, the Bible says it does. Do you believe the Bible or not? See, that's the thing. We have to actually believe. You know, and for... I'm looking at this crowd, and I guarantee you a lot of you have cable television or you have, you know, some kind of network, and you've been watching a lot of Hallmark movies. And the whole premise of the Hallmark movie is just believe, because, it's, you know, miracles are going to happen and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? In a Hallmark movie, it happens every time. Do you realize that? Every time it happens. And you know that every one of these movies you watch, you expect it to happen every time. But then when it comes to your life, and that we've been told it's going to happen, we've been told all we have to do is believe. But we sit around and worry, I don't know what to do. Well, why don't you quit leaning to your own understanding? Why don't you believe like a Hallmark movie? I mean, you know, you have more faith in a Hallmark movie than you do in God, and that's pretty sad. And I know people get mad at Hallmark movies. Like, well, it always works out for them, but never works out for me. You know, when you're the same guy that if I ask you, you would say, yeah, you can have what you say. You know, you have a real opportunity to change your world in 2019, but not just change your world for a year, but change your world for eternity. And it all starts just changing a few things. And I'm not saying to go have to go get in the gym or whatever. Maybe that's good. Maybe you need to. I probably do. I don't just probably. I do, all right? Hey, I went to the doctor today. I lost 15 pounds, and I wasn't even hardly trying, so that's And then, you know, I've been doing my best. Now, I will say I didn't really do a good Christmas, you know. But I've been doing my best to do really well on a diet. You know, it's been not really easy or whatever, but it's Christmas season right now. But, you know, and I told my mom, I said, well, if you're going to make all the food, I have to eat it because, I mean, but I only had one helping at least, sometimes I get over an abundance more than you can ask or think, but I only had one helping. But, but it's not about you, it's really about changing other people's life. And if you worry, if not worry, because we don't have to worry about anybody, but if we'll be a blessing, God will bless us. You know, and I believe that you can have the same faith as the people in those Hallmark movies. But you can just trust God. And I'm telling you, God's faithful. You know, and it might not happen the way you think it's going to happen. Things don't always happen the way you think it's going to happen. You don't have the world figured out. You know, that's why you're not writing a book, you know, about the Lord's coming back and whatever year he's coming back. And I always say, if you want to write one of those books, make sure that you're probably chronologically not here when it does happen, because, you know, the year afterwards is pretty bad for you. You know, but it's not just about 1 year. It's not just about 2019. It's about your future. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, and he will direct your path. He's got you taken care of. He's got your back. But what I want to encourage you to do is go out and touch the kingdom. Go out and be a blessing to people. And I tell you what, the more of a blessing that you'll be, the more God will minister to you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for each and every person that's here this morning. We thank you, Father, for helping them in their life, Father. Father, we thank you that 2019 will be the best year they've ever had. We thank you, Father, that going into this year, that you'll help them in every area, financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally. And Father God, we thank you that not only that you'll help them, but help them be a blessing. Help them be a blessing to a lost and a dying and a hurting world. Father God, we just thank you today if there is anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father, that today that they will change their life, not just change their year, but change their life. So Father God, with heads bowed and eyes closed, we thank you that if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, just lift your hand right now. If you're here and say, Craig, I don't know Jesus. I've never met him, but I want to meet him this morning. Or maybe you're here this morning and you say, Craig, I just want to rededicate my life to God. If that's you, you say, I want to rededicate my life to God today. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure that you make some changes this year. Father God, I don't see any hands. Will you thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? We thank you for laborers to come across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you that they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's all stand up. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you this morning. We're glad you're here. We have the Connected team in the aisle. They're going to take you, and they have a gift for you that we want to give you. Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, my parents, will be back here next Sunday. They won't be here on Wednesday. They're taking the whole week off. Amen. And, you know, and I'm excited about it. I'm excited excited for this whole new year. Amen. Amen. I mean, God's doing wonderful, wonderful things. Hallelujah. I know we have a lot of people watching us on Rhema.TV on Facebook. I don't have my glasses on, so I can't read that screen back there. So sorry about that. See, you have to understand that a lot of people need glasses to see. But if I wear my glasses, I can't see my notes because I have perfect reading vision. But looking out away, sometimes it's not quite as good. And the TV was closer. Now it's a little further away. So But we have a lot of people watching us, all right? Thank you for watching us online. And so God's good, amen? Amen. Well, I just believe that we're going to have a great year, amen? You know, a great year because, you know, next church service, it will be a new year. So I guess I'll see you next year. Amen. But the way we dismiss around here, they're going to sing a song and the pastors are going to go to the doors to shake your hand. I just want to wish everyone a happy new year and may 2019 be the best year ever in your life. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Happy New Year. We'll see you next year.